All out here tonight. It's been a great week to meet brethren that we haven't met before and to see brethren that we hadn't seen in a while that have come from far and away places. We have dinner with Janice Monique. We've known Gary and Janice for many years. They may have driven the long, she and me has driven the furthest tonight, all the way from Salem, Illinois. We're just so glad for all of you who have made the effort to be with us tonight and talk about a very, very important subject. That's very dear to my heart because this problem has not affected just people in general in the religious realm, but it touches my heart because I've even had family that are being affected by this subject. Appreciate the songs that were led tonight. The last one that Sam led, the first stanza, talking about God has given us everything that we need to know. When it comes to the subject of the Holy Spirit, people need to clearly understand what the Bible says about it and understand what it doesn't say about that subject. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I've been forgetting to push this, so let's do that. I might be teaching this lesson a little different than the other lessons I've been teaching. It might be the same. I'm just not sure. I just might be doing one of those lessons that I might be going all over preaching the Word of God tonight, but I'm going to tell you, let me start off by doing this. I have a whiteboard. That's a little point for those who have never heard with it. So, what I want us to do is I want us to be mindful of the concept of boundaries. That's all I'm going to do on the whiteboard. I just said that so Debbie knows I'm not actually going to write. Can't spell very well. I want us to be conjure up in our minds that there are boundaries. And I'm not going to be able to talk about everything that the Bible mentions about the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, there are people who get nervous talking about the Holy Spirit. And maybe even as Christians, if somebody gets up and says a prayer, talks a little bit, and alludes to the Holy Spirit, they might think, oh boy, he's out there. And people get nervous. And they're not comfortable. Some people are just not comfortable talking about the Holy Spirit because there's things that we just don't know. Well, I understand the concern that is out there because of the denominational realm and what people want to do with the Holy Spirit. But I want us to be aware that the Bible gives us what we need to know, and that's what I was alluding to earlier with the song. Because our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And I know we quote that verse all the time. And didn't we start out Sunday morning with that? The good news about the good news. We have been given the inspired Word of God. God gave us everything that we need to know. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works, as he talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 17. Can make us complete. So we shouldn't be afraid to talk about a subject of the Holy Spirit. But again, I do stress the fact that there are a lot of things that people might say, well, I'm kind of unsure about. Well, I want us to leave tonight with more answers than questions. So that you can have the confidence that when the subject is brought up. Now, obviously, people have convictions based upon things other than the Word of God. We've touched on that. People will base their convictions upon a religious experience. They'll base upon some feeling that they have. Families, connections that are there. Prejudice is a big one that causes people to think a certain way. You can go to John chapter 14 and verse 26, for example, when it talks about, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and what He will do. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not something out there. What is actually the Holy Spirit? Well, we're talking about the fact that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at a lot of verses. I will not be reading them all. There's some charts tonight, and I'm going to put up a chart, and you're going to go, is he going to read all those verses? Well, that's why I'm saying the lesson's just a little bit different. But I want you to see, at least get this idea, that the Bible does talk a lot about this subject. And the reason why I get a little bit emotional about this is because there is so much that's being taught. And brethren, let me say this, brethren are getting sucked into some of the false things that are being taught. And they're doing such by not doing what we talked about earlier this week, and that is being a good thinker. I always like going to John chapter 9. I don't have the time to go into that. But if you read verses 6 through 34 and say, what is John chapter 9? Well, we're talking about a man that was born blind and he's trying to reason with people who are being unreasonable. You know, how did this happen? How did you get cured? Well, I'll tell you this. Well, they go to his parents. You know, what happened? Oh, he's old enough to ask him. So he brings him back. So how did this happen? Do you want to listen this time? And he reasons with them. Well, you know, I'm telling you that a person has to be a man of God to be able to cure me. You know, it has been heard of that nobody ever could cause a blind man to see unless he was of God. And they're like saying, are you trying to teach us? It's basically what he said. They said to him, are you trying to teach us? And they cast him out. So you're going to have people that want to believe whatever they want about the Holy Spirit that's not based upon the Word of God. It's based upon an experience, a feeling that they have. And people are going to use phrases that we're going to be talking about tonight that we're going to try to clear up. And that's why we're talking about this text. I'm going to just quickly go over to this text. Won't spend a lot of time on here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll pick it up in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that you are enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, he said, so that you will come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. And the reason why I want this text up there is because there are people who are being divided over this subject. And I'm sitting there often, and I'll scratch my head, and I said, I don't understand this. I don't understand why there's this kind of confusion when the Bible gives us enough to clear up some of this stuff. Seriously, you might be sitting there saying, well, I think you're oversimplifying it. I'm not oversimplifying it because of some logical things that we're going to be looking at tonight. And our Lord wants us to be good thinkers. And so, we're talking about creating boundaries prevents divisions. So in other words, we might say, well, Chuck, I really don't know everything. And what I'm going to talk about them tonight. I might not know everything about the Holy Spirit, every aspect. But because of things that we do know, we don't have to go beyond. We don't have to go beyond. There are boundaries that have been set that helps us to understand this particular subject and other subjects, as we're going to notice in a little bit. We have a passage like Ephesians chapter 4, right? When he talks about the ones that were there. The one faith, the one baptism, one God, one Spirit, right? He talks about the ones there. And when you have that there, that's going to help us not to go beyond what is written. You often have people tell you what you're not saying. You have to tell people what you're not saying. Do I have to do that? Well, Paul had to do that sometimes. You know, Paul would have to tell brethren, you know, I don't want you to eat with somebody who's named a brother. I didn't say that you couldn't eat with anybody who's an adulterer or fornicator, because then you'd have to leave this world. You know, clarification is necessary. And we teach what is and what isn't. 2 Peter 3:9, for example, and you see that up there. We know that our God is not willing that any should perish. And by the way, that's the title of our sermon tomorrow night. A good lesson to close with. So a person might look at that passage and say, hey, God's not willing that any should perish. Seems to me everybody's going to heaven. Well, no. We can reason through this. And we can understand that he's not talking about that because of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many are going to go down that road. And so we can reason through that. So when we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, people have questions, and I get that. All kinds of questions. What's the gift of the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now listen, I get some pretty good convictions, and I think we got a lot of passages to support where we can provide an answer for that. All right? What it is? Well, I can tell you what it isn't, but we're going to get to that in just a few moments. How does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are sons of God, that's stated in Romans chapter 8, verse 16? I know you're thinking, you're saying, Chuck, I thought you said you're going to help us leave with more answers than questions. But see, I'm leading up to something. I'm wanting us to understand that there are times when we have good questions. And those are good studies, by the way. You can set a study up with Lynn and say, you know, can we sit down and learn about what the Acts 2 and verse 38 is? What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? To me, when you look at that very carefully, can it be the Holy Spirit Himself? Well, it could, because of some things we're going to be talking about in just a few moments. Could it be the gift of salvation that was offered? Because without the Holy Spirit providing that message that was delivered, remember, the Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into what? All truth. So try to be saved without the truth. How are you going to be saved without the truth? What a great gift that is, salvation. And so, bearing witness with our spirit, and we talk about that. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, people wonder, how are you led by the Spirit? How does that actually happen? To me, that's simple, but there are a lot of people who want to read things into the Scriptures and go beyond the boundaries that are set. And I'm hearing all kinds of sayings, that's at the end of this, you'll see some of them, but you're often hearing people telling me that the Spirit has led me to do this. Have you ever heard that? The Spirit's led me to do this. The Spirit led me to take this job. And I'm saying, well, you really need to be careful with that concept. And, you know, the big one that's out there. You know what the big one is? Boy, I did this on a TV program, and boy, did that stir up some things. Do you need the Holy Spirit to help you understand what the Word of God says? Have you ever heard that before? You need the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God. We just need people to stop and think for a moment. Think about that. You need the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God? How would you know that? Well, I read it right. Well, you need the Holy Spirit to help you understand what the Holy Spirit revealed. So if you're reading it, how do you know that that's what it means? I shared this with some brethren at Kirkwood. I told them when I had to... Two Mormon folks knock on my door and invited them in. And I said, go ahead, guys. Talk. Give it to me. And they said, you know, Joseph Smith, he would go around to different religious groups and it occurred to him nobody could understand the Scriptures. Nobody could understand the Scriptures. And so one day he was reading James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, pray for wisdom. And so he prayed for wisdom. I said, hold it, guys. If nobody could understand the Scriptures, how does he know what James chapter 1 and verse 5 really means if he can't understand it? And the guys go, good question. And then they said, well, that was an easy verse. I said, well, let's read the next one. Could they understand that one? Well, yeah. And what about the next one? They said, Mr. Bart, we know where you're going. I said, yeah, you know where I'm going. You can't sit there and put the cart before the horse. You can't sit there and say nobody can understand the Scriptures, and then you read the Scriptures and say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do to understand it. How could you know that's what it says? And I want people to think this through. Oh, you need the Holy Spirit. How do you know you need the Holy Spirit to help you understand it? Did you read that? Well, somebody told me that. How did that person find out? Well, somebody told him. How did that person find out? Well, somebody told him. You see the problem that is there? And all I'm trying to do is get people to think this through. Now, this particular one, we have the Spirit of Truth that's been revealed. Guess what, folks? You follow this. You follow this quick and easy. You're being led by the Spirit. Okay? What do I mean? Well, yeah, you're led by that. Because if we turn over to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment, we don't only have the Father within us. I mean, the Holy Spirit, but we have the Father and we have the Son dwelling within us. We do? Yeah, we do. I just wish some people would just ask the question, how does that happen? How do you have the Holy Spirit within you? How do you have the Father dwelling within you? How do you have the Son dwelling within you? In Romans chapter 8, look what he says in verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells within you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. So you have Christ within you. You have the Spirit within you. John 14:23. You can have the Father dwelling within you. But the point is, how does that happen? Well, we'll talk more about that in just a few moments. There are answers to these questions, and some of them may vary. But the point is, You can't contradict other clear passages of Scripture, which people want to do. They want to ignore what the Bible has to say about things. Now, here's some things. Here are some things that are going to set some boundaries. Because when I have family and I have friends telling me, the Holy Spirit is leading me. You know, that's one of the ideas, right? People say that, you know what? The Holy Spirit draws me to the Word. That's what they do. That's what they want to say. Or the person who claims to be a Christian, they say, the Holy Spirit is guiding me. I'm making decisions based on what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. And they'll say that. The Holy Spirit led me to get this job. The Holy Spirit led me to this, to make this decision or that decision. Well, let's look at some very important facts. And I want us to think about it. Number one. Look at this. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Ananias and Sapphira tells us that you can lie. Wait a minute. How can this couple lie to the Holy Spirit if the Spirit is within them? You're going to see a pattern here on all these points. Christians can become carnally minded. Do you know what Paul told the Corinthian brethren? Now remember, this is a church at Corinth, just like you have a church here at St. James. And Paul comes right out and he tells these brethren here in verse 1, and I, brethren, look at this, and I, brethren, these are Christians. Get this? Think about this. They're brethren. And he says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with the milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there's envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? How does that happen, folks? How do you act carnal with envy and strife in you if you have the Holy Spirit within you? If you have the Father within you, if you have the Son dwelling within you, I'm wanting you to understand, as this lesson unfolds, how does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Have you ever met anybody? You've got a lot of family here. Boy, I've learned that one. What do you talk about? So you got all these family connections, right? Have you ever seen anybody, the older ones, have you ever looked at a younger one as they were growing up and said, man, I can see his daddy in him. Have you ever thought that? I can see his daddy in him. Or I can see her mom in her. I can see that. Well, what do they mean by that? You know what they mean by that. You're seeing these characteristics in these children that were in their parents. And so, this isn't rocket science here to understand that when you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, when you are walking in the light, then you are walking a certain way. But we are learning from our reading here, with these boundaries that are set about the Holy Spirit, that He does not control us. Do you understand that? Holy Spirit doesn't control me. Have you ever heard about these religious groups where these people are rolling around, they got the Holy Spirit, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're out of control? You read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I love taking them to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because what he talks about in there, he says, you know what? If you have the gift of speaking in tongues and there's no interpreter, do you remember what he said? You sit down and you be quiet. What are you telling me I can control that? Yes, I'm telling you can control that. People that want to make the Holy Spirit do things for them against their will. Yeah, I pray for wisdom and I pray that the decisions that I make, that we make as a husband and a wife or a job that we want to take, well, the Holy Spirit led me to take this job to work over here at Budweiser. Yeah. You know, you got to think this through. And the decisions that you make. And they say, well, I've got the Spirit within me. Well, I want you to understand something. You may have the Spirit within you, and that's a good thing. You need to. But we understand that a person can become lukewarm. Over there, the Laodiceans. He's writing to a church, folks. He's writing to Christians. Wait a minute, you can't become lukewarm. How can you become lukewarm if you get the Spirit within you? You see, what people are doing, and this is what I'm hearing from family, is that the Holy Spirit is preventing them from falling victim to this. They're partly right. If they listen to what the inspired Word says here. Remember I said the how? How does He dwell within us? See, if you follow what it says, you're being led by the Spirit. You have those godly qualities within you. We're trying to be Christ-like in this world. We're like to have the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, Father, I thank you for the Spirit. May I be led by the Spirit. It's right there. We read it in Romans chapter 8. We're not ashamed or afraid, you know, but people think, well, you know, if I say that, people are going to think that, you know, they have control and the Spirit makes me do things against my will. I'm wanting us to see that these passages are setting boundaries here to let us know we make our own decisions. There's a comfort of knowing that we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Christians can play the hypocrite. This is an apostle. The Apostle Peter, Paul confronts him. You have played the hypocrite. How is that possible? So I'm wanting people to understand this and you be able to communicate to these people as I'm trying to do with my family and friends to let them know you're trying to put something on the Holy Spirit that's just not there. Trying to give you some kind of comfort and insurance in your own mind, remember? What it's going to come down with, and I know I'm stealing some of my own thunder a little bit later in the lesson today, but what it comes down to, if the Holy Spirit has led them to this or that, you know what that is? That's something that they want to do. That's the heart of it. The Holy Spirit led me. No, you wanted that job. You wanted to move there. When you're going to put that on the Holy Spirit, it's almost like you're not accountable. Or that it's God approved. Christians can forget where they have come from. People can lose their first love. Paul even talked about people can fall away. And people say, well, you know what? I know I'm right with the Lord. And I'm hearing that from family. I know I'm right with the Lord, Dad, because I got... I let that one slip, didn't I? But that's why it hurts me. I know I'm right, Dad. I've got the Holy Spirit. Have you read these passages there? These are the boundaries that are there. You're rejecting the boundaries that the Word of God puts there. You might have some questions about the Holy Spirit, and that's fine. As long as they kept within the confines of what the Bible actually says, and you don't go beyond what the Scriptures teach. Again, back to that song that Sam just led for us. We are thankful to God for His inspired Word, which in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us things are set. We're not going to add or take away, as Galatians 1 tells us. We've been emphasizing that all this week, how much we love the Word of God. We started out that way in Psalm 119. And I like Psalm 119 verse 11. Thy Word that I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Could a person say, Thy Spirit that I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? Could you say, Thy Son that I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? Yes, when you're trying to listen to the Lord, when you're trying to follow the inspired Word of God, that is going to prevent you. But when you say, Thy Word that I've hid in my heart, does that mean that you're never going to sin or that you don't have the ability to sin? No, we do. People need to understand this about the Holy Spirit. Sadly, Christians can't even turn on their own brethren. And because this is a sad part within family when brethren have stabbed them in the back. And they have gone off and now believing things that are not based upon the Word of God. They need to understand. You sit back and say, well, they just didn't have the Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit stab us in the back. Well, you can have the Holy Spirit, you know, but if you don't conform to the Word, you can stab somebody in the back. What are we learning from all these passages? It's one word. What are we learning? Free will. Free will. Spirit's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. It's impossible. Because the implications of that is that then it would be the Holy Spirit's fault if you do something wrong. If the Holy Spirit draws me to the Word of God, that I've learned the Word of God, what about those people who have not come to the Word of God? Is that the Holy Spirit? You see the implications? You're making the Holy Spirit a respecter of persons. He gets to pick and choose who's going to be saved. The root of it, Calvinism. And I don't have time to get into all that, but I'm trying to just open up our eyes. And I'm not telling something you haven't already learned. And Lynn has preached this stuff over and over. But what we're learning from this is have this concept. That when you're studying with people, Talking about the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you have liberties to say it does anything that you want it to. But that's what they're doing. That's what people fall victim to when the Bible gives us more than enough to talk about. Christians can have their conscience seared. Let's just move on. Christians can lose their first love. Not only forget where they have come from, and that's the problem when you lose your first love. This is what we do when couples are having struggles. We want them to remember. Do you remember when you dated? Do you remember how you treated each other back then? That's what you need to stir up. You've forgotten the way it was. And then because of that, you've lost your first love. So having said that, let's look at a few other things. The Holy Spirit is not control of. Here it is. Let's look at a few of these passages. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Got plenty of time here, guys, and I've got a few more charts to go through. In 1 Corinthians 13, obviously we as God's people need to control our thoughts, but the Holy Spirit's not in control of that. Here he's talking about the concept of love. He's writing to Christians. He says in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Well, I want the Holy Spirit to control my thoughts. My thoughts are always right. Well, they can be when you conform yourself to having that spiritual mind and not a carnal mind, but the Spirit doesn't control that. It would be so easy to have that idea that we just put it all on the Holy Spirit or say it's Holy Spirit approved, but if it's not based upon this, we're in trouble. The reason why I'm talking about this is because I talked to a preacher friend of ours that held us a meeting, lives in Bowling Green, and when he came to hold us a meeting, he's in a college town. Young people need to understand this. In a college town, he says, there's two things that always came up time and time again in these young people's, these young adult Bible studies. Two issues kept always coming up. One, drinking. And we touched on that this week. Second, Holy Spirit. It's a big issue up here. And we need to know how to face it. Not only in our own lives, but to give an answer for the hope that's within us and help direct people and help them be aware of the dangers that are there and not respecting the boundaries that are set within the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not control of our actions. You know, we are clearly told through Peter the kind of actions that we are to perform in our lives. Well, I'll just let the Holy Spirit take it. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Whoa. I mean, have we read these verses? Remember, I'm going to go back to the blind man that was healed by Jesus. Remember, he used complete logic with these teachers. Do you want to listen right now? You know, how could somebody do this if they weren't a man of God? Are you trying to teach us? That's what we want to do. We want to educate people, but when people want to go with their feelings, it's going to be hard to help them. So look what he does here. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And when I teach on these things of what you add to your faith, I like to stop and think and dwell on faith. Add to your faith. Wait a second. Let's first talk about faith. Where does your faith come from? What is the source of that? Let's stay with the Scriptures. And when we understand the importance of faith, so he says, add to your faith. Virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you do, what do you mean the if? What are you putting if in there, Peter? You got the Holy Spirit. Didn't in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. See, we kind of getting an answer here now, right? You know, when it talks about how that we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the person says, you know, oh, Chuck, I'm just feeling a little unsure about what that gift of the Holy Spirit is. Is it literally the Holy Spirit? Is that what the gift is? And if a person says, well, okay, the person here says, Chuck, I think it really is. Well, you could do that with understanding that the Holy Spirit, that gift of the Holy Spirit, is not in control of your actions. You can allow Him to lead you in the right way by listening and abiding and following the Spirit of truth that is there. But we are accountable for it. That's what He's saying. He's saying, what's this if for? If you do these things. You mean I have a choice in the matter? Absolutely. And people just want to put things on the Holy Spirit that they have no right to do. They've gone beyond the boundaries that are set. There's more said on this subject than we can imagine. You know that whole last list I put up there in the previous slide? They weren't talking about the Holy Spirit, but in truth, they were. They were talking about the Holy Spirit in the sense of it goes against what people are saying about the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? It was setting those boundaries. Oh, this is a big one, isn't it? Well, the Holy Spirit will control my understanding. And this is what I have to deal with family. Oh, no, I've come to this new understanding. When you have a family member actually utter these words, you're a part of a cult. Dad, you're part of a cult and you don't even see it. You're just not thinking right. No, I'm thinking. But don't put that on the Holy Spirit, that I don't have the Holy Spirit. Because we don't see eye to eye on something. 2 Timothy. Let's turn over there and look at it. This is not an isolated problem I'm talking about here. 2 Timothy 2:15, we know this text well. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are we doing tonight, folks? What are we doing tonight? We're studying the Holy Spirit. We're trying to get a proper understanding, but we want to rightly divide it. We want to rightly divide. We need to have a proper understanding. No, I'll just read it. The Holy Spirit will just reveal this to me. I have this new revelation. No, you don't. You have this new desire that you want to believe something by going beyond the boundaries that have been set by the Scriptures. And you're putting all that on the Holy Spirit and you convinced yourself you're being inspired by some mystical force that is out there. And I love the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to yell and raise my voice. Debbie says, maybe you're not yelling. I've been telling you that. Mm-hmm. She goes, maybe your microphone's a little high. So I moved it down a little bit. But that last point, I yelled. This is serious stuff. And people are being fooled. Why are they being fooled? Lack of understanding. Oh, they think they're getting this special knowledge. They're not. This is what we're talking about. People are taking the Holy Spirit and turning it into things that they want to approve of. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, when he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You try to tell them, this is wrong, that is wrong. No, you're wrong. I have the Spirit within me that has proven to me that what I'm doing is right. And how many times have we said, and I know you've said it, Lynn, you can't deal with somebody who's arguing from emotion. How can you deal with that? Person, I feel that I'm right. I feel that I'm right. Well, what if I feel that you're wrong? We're at an impasse there. We've got a problem. If we don't get back to this, we're in trouble. Debbie's heard me use this illustration when we had the Bible booth up in Canada. When we had that Bible booth up in Canada at the CNE, like a state fair, we had that booth there, and the guy sees Bible booth, so he just walks away and says, "There's the problem with the world today." That's all he said. So I grabbed my Bible, and we had a long table there, and he's walking away, and I threw my Bible, and he turned around, and I said, "Give me something better." So he comes back around. He says, "I'll tell you what we need." He said, "We need people to love more." And I go, "Why is that? Because you said so?" And I says, "Hitler, right or wrong in what he did?" And he lost. You see, when you try to reason with people and get people to think about what is right and wrong according to what the Word of God has to say, we do not want to become man followers. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people become man followers because some smooth talker is out there telling them what the Holy Spirit is doing for them, going beyond the Word of God, and people are falling for it. They're eating it up because it's created a feeling within them. Why do you think these religious groups, they roll around on the floor? Because they get so emotional. They're not in control of their faculties. They're not even reasoning properly. They're letting that go because of it's their desires. They're doing what they want to do. Even our level of spirituality. In Hebrews chapter 5, he said, you ought to be teachers by now. You ought to be teachers by now. You should be maturing. You should be maturing. The Holy Spirit's not in control of that. And by the way, that's a great lesson for all of us. Are we maturing? Are we growing? Where were you 3 years ago? Lord willing. Not Lord willing. If you were a Christian 3 years ago, where were you spiritually? That's what I wanted to say. Compared to 3 years ago today, where are you? And that ties in perfectly to what we talked about last night, right? Have we buried our talent? Are we growing? Are we evolving? Are we bettering ourselves? How's our level of spirituality? Yes, we can have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, but we have to be led by them. We have to have that spiritual mind that we are to have. Are we a spiritually minded person, or can we only think in worldly terms? Can we only talk about worldly things? Can we only talk about sports? Can we only talk about farming? We as God's people, we talk about spiritual things and things that we're trying to do. He's not in control of our destiny. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have a goal. We've been praying about it tonight. We sing it, but we want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But I just can't put that on the Holy Spirit. Because I am the one that has to be in control of my life. But I can allow these things to help me. So, having said that, beware of saying the Holy Spirit led me to do these things. Yeah, you pray about this. We want to make decisions. And that's what James 1's all about. You know, make decisions. Have you guys ever made a wrong decision? You know, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, I look back and say, you know, whatever. You know, but we're trying to do the right thing. The Holy Spirit revealed this to me, and I hear this a lot. The Holy Spirit revealed this to me. The Holy Spirit brought me to the Lord. You're separating the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit when they're all working together. They all work together in order to help us to get to heaven. They all had different roles to play. And the Father sending His Son. And the Son saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth. And that's why Paul could say in Galatians 1:10 or 12. So read 10, 11, and 12. I'm speaking by revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. Paul, why are you saying that? I thought, Jesus, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to guide you into all truth. Well, because that's a role that He played. And so, this message, that's why Paul could say, I'm speaking by revelation of Jesus Christ. Or I have the Spirit message that was given to me. Or the Spirit is within me. Now, this is a big one that I've been hearing from a lot of people. I can feel Him within me. There it is. There it is, folks. I can feel the Holy Spirit within me. Well, I've said, do you feel the Son within you? Do you feel the Father within you? Do you feel Him? What is this feeling? You know, I can just feel Him within me. I'm just trying to grasp this and respect the boundaries that are set, be knowing the Scriptures that have been revealed to us. What do you mean that you can feel Him within you? It isn't something mystical. It's something that we know that we can have confidence in, because when we start separating Him from this, we are in deep trouble. They work. Remember, it's the how. How are you led by the Spirit? How does the Spirit dwell within you? How does Christ? You answer the how, and you help yourself staying on the straight and narrow. False teachers say this all the time. How do you? And when they say this, how do you prove that they are wrong? I've had people tell me that. That Bible booth I was telling you about, they would come up and they say, "I feel this." And so I didn't pick on myself in this, but these people that came up belonged to a certain religious group. And I told them, I said, "That's funny you should say that, because this other religious group," and I told them what it was, and they go, "Oh yeah, we don't believe what they believe." I says, well, they said the same thing about you of having the Spirit. So how do I know who has it? I said, I'm just asking them, because I'm looking for how they're going to prove it. So you're being led by the Spirit. Sure. Well, they said they're led by the Spirit. And I said, so how do you prove this? You know what they said to me? It's classic. Well, you got to go to the Word of God. I said, well, yes, that is it. You have to go to the Scriptures. And you have to make sure that your lives are in harmony with what it has to say. Brethren, like I said, didn't deal with everything that pertains to the Holy Spirit. And I am thankful for the Holy Spirit. I understand His role. I love Him. He's a He. He's not an it. And we need to appreciate it. And we shouldn't back away from talking about the Holy Spirit and the role that He has today. But don't put Him in a position to do things that He doesn't do. Same with the Father and the Son. How many times do we preach? I do that sermon. I'm sure Ellen and Robert remember this. I did a sermon called Jesus didn't say that. I didn't say that is what it was based upon. I didn't say that. Don't you just hate it when somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I heard you said this about so-and-so." I did not. I did not say that. Don't you get upset when somebody puts words in your mouth? Do you get upset about that? I would. I've had people say that to me. "Hey, I heard you said this." And when people put words in Christ's mouth, that Jesus said this, well, He didn't say that. And people are doing the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Now, on a positive note, as we're winding down for an invitation here, I want us to think about this. We quoted Acts 2 and verse 38. I want you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. I do. Well, how? First, you need to become a Christian. Now, in becoming a Christian, you need to be listening what the Holy Spirit revealed. Faith comes by hearing, so you have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please me, Jesus said. But you need to hear the message. Now, this message was to go to everybody. Now, this message is for you. If you're not a Christian, this message is for you. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, they're calling you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden." How do you know that? The Spirit revealed it. He's saying, "Come, come unto me," but that's your choice. If you're sitting there waiting to hear a voice, if you're waiting for that, it's not going to happen. People have said that sometimes. I heard a voice. You're hearing the call of our Lord from the gospel. It's the power unto salvation. You're being called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. We're called by the gospel. And He's calling you right now to come. And don't say no, is what I'm saying. Listen to that invitation. Do you believe who Jesus Christ is? You say yes. Well, then you need to confess Him, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Confess your faith before Him. And somebody says, "Well, Chuck, how do I do that?" Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. You just confessed Him. Now, you need to repent. You know, you turn. It means an about face. You don't want to serve self anymore. You want to serve Jesus Christ. You want to turn and follow Him. You want to turn your back on that former life, that life of sin, which you have godly sorrow about. You want to turn your back on that. And you want to put on Christ in baptism. And you rise up in newness of life. And according to Acts 2:38, when you rise up in newness of life, when you're baptized, guess what you receive? The gift of the Holy Spirit. What is that gift of the Holy Spirit? Respecting the boundaries that are set. The Holy Spirit, okay, just like the Father and the Son. Or He's given you that hope now that you have that gift of salvation that He's offered to you. But don't let it go. That's why we need to be faithful till death, Revelation 2:10. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, folks, come back to the Lord on His terms, James chapter 5, 19-20. Be restored. That's not something we've made up. But that's a message that's been revealed. We need to understand this, folks. This is serious stuff. Everything we talk about, of course, is serious. But this is what's going on out in the religious realm. Brethren are being influenced by it. They're listening to people say things that are not based upon the Word of God, based upon a feeling, an emotion, or some experience. But I want you to know that if you walk by faith, you can make it to heaven. Trust in the Lord. And so if you're not a Christian, we extend an invitation for you to come forward and let it be known. We'll sit down, Lynn, we'll open up the Bible and make sure you understand what you're doing. And if we can be a help to you in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song that was announced.